And you are on 97.73 SERFM, and it's time for the VFL footy show on this pretty damp Saturday morning, so obviously the football might be a little bit affected, but we haven't got any blockbusters. We've got a Sandy versus Northern Bullets, and that's about as blockbustery as you're going to get, and we've got one of the first versus a second last, and the rest of the games are pretty well even. Geelong versus Werribee, 11th versus 7th. North Ballarat, 10th versus Bendigo Bombers, 13, although it's last year's premiers versus one of the also-rans, and Collingwood, who are improving, against Box Hill, who are also on the improve. And a good morning to Kane Pollard.
Morning, Jim, and welcome everybody to the Saturday morning VFL football show, round 5 of the VFL. But I guess this Saturday is going to go down as your big birthday. Happy birthday, Jim. Congratulations on the big 50th, and well, we're back here doing it again in the studio, so like you do for the rest of the footy season. But happy birthday, congratulations, and as you mentioned, just some of the games on this weekend. But I guess last weekend there was just so much coverage of the VFL, it was a little bit different, wasn't it, to think we saw pictures of Jack Watson kicking his three goals and the return of Ben Cousins. And I mean, there's not many players who walk around suburban football with security guards these days. And then you've got the massive melee, which definitely was a bit of a blight on the game. I was just having a flick through the VFL website and everything like that. Was there an outcome after the
Not that I know of. They kept it hush-hush, I suppose. But the thing is, if they were fair dinkum about handing fines out and that sort of thing, they could have dished out quite a hefty amount. But I don't know. I don't know if anything came about it.
But it was definitely a lot of pushing and shoving and yelling and screaming and scratching and pinching.
That's all it was. Just a lot of flying the flags and nothing. There were no punches thrown as far as I could see.
Well, as far as we could see. But Jay King was definitely involved there from the Coburg Tigers. And I think Michael Newton may have been one of the instigators from the Casey Scorpions. But the Scorpions continues to surprise. And after that melee, I think it really did turn the Casey Scorpions way. I think they won 17-13, 115 against the Coburg Tigers, who, as many people are aware, were star-studded. I don't know quite the end result, but would have been, you know, into the high 15, 16, 17 listed Richmond players that played for Coburg that day. It was the ABC game. Big crowd in attendance, and unfortunately for the Coburg faithful, they lost. And the Casey Scorpions, well, if you said to Peter German at the start of the season, after round 4 you'd be 2-2, to think they got absolutely whacked by Sandringham round 1, and everyone was running for cover. They took Port Melbourne to within 4 points, and then they've had the two consecutive wins there, so against Frankston and Coburg last week. So a bye this weekend for three of the teams.
Yep.
They get an extended Mother's Day weekend, and Casey Scorpions, one of those teams, not in action this weekend. So they'll be sitting just there in the ninth position. Now, Jim, you're a staunch follower of European football. You would have seen the shock draw or away win to Barcelona on Thursday morning.
Should have been 4-0, but that's beside the point.
But 4-0, whose way?
Chelsea's.
That
was some of the worst decisions I've seen in a long, long time.
But what brings a game into more disrepute, though? Bad umpiring, players' reaction, or a massive brawl like we saw at the Casey Coburg?
What I saw was the
lead news story that night. On the Saturday night news was the Casey Scorpions brawl.
Well, what I saw the other morning, the way the players were reacting against the referee on, was it Thursday morning?
Yeah, Thursday morning.
Yeah, that was pretty shocking. If that happened in the AFL, those players would not be playing the next 10 weeks. At least. Yeah, and they'd be about $100,000, this is Australian dollars, short in their pay packet for the rest of the season. There was some, I mean, Michael Ballack was actually, I'm not joking.
The remonstration with the arms waving.
You couldn't have put a cigarette paper between him and the referee. He was the referee was on the run,
yeah,
and Michael Ballack was almost on top of him, chasing him down. That was shocking. And Drogba, some of the things he did was less than ordinary.
Well, being a Chelsea supporter, I mean, it was a shock loss.
Yeah, but it was all provocation by the referee. The referee was the provocator in all this. He was...
But he's a little bit renowned for it, isn't he, as someone who...
Some of those decisions were fairly one-sided, and they were all in favour of Barcelona, and they don't need any help.
No. Well, they went down to 10 men, but that wasn't enough. But I was just wondering, like, you see something like that, and, you know, obviously Drogba's carry on by swearing into the television isn't acceptable at any level. But it's just interesting to think that these guys are, I guess, you know, in the top echelon of professional sport in terms of pay packet and just genuine interest. I mean, the English Premier League's probably the most actively watched sport in the world.
Well, Heath Shaw touched an umpire.
Yeah.
And lost a week, and I don't know if he got fined or anything.
Well, you can even go further than that. Heath Shaw lied for a teammate, saying he wasn't in the car, and got suspended for the rest of the season.
No, that was Reese.
No, Heath was...
Oh, was it?
Heath and Dino.
But anyway, what Heath Shaw did was, on a scale of 1 to 10, was a 0.5. What most of the Chelsea players did, who got involved, were on a 9.5.
Yeah.
And... Nothing, as far as I know, nothing will happen to the Chelsea players. I hope something does happen. You know, I don't want to see them suspended or anything. That's a bit drastic. But, you know, a couple of $1 million out of the pay packet will teach them a lesson or two.
Very disappointing result, but it's just interesting to see
how
the world press has looked at that events.
Yeah, and the referee, well, we shouldn't be refereeing kindergarten games.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, you know, you've watched a lot of football this year, so have I. And I guess the only thing we expect from taking it back to an Aussie rules perspective is the fact we just want consistency of the umpiring, and that's what you don't get.
Yep. Some of the... a lot of the games we've seen in both soccer, football, in just about any sports, you see one or two incidents that are, I won't say terrible, but on the scale of 1 to 10, they do score on the bad side. But some of those decisions, the handball decision, that's a handball in anybody's language. And what was I going to say? It was in the penalty area.
Yeah.
There was a few other incidents where players were brought down in the penalty area. Not even a free kick was given.
No, I know.
And, a free kick, penalty, a send-off, call it what you want. You know, I don't know if any of them were the last players, you know, before the... keeper, which is an automatic send-off.
Well, that last incident with Ballack would have been... I don't think it would have maybe been last, but it would have been pretty close. So, it's... just wonder what would happen if that was the AFL or even the VFL where...
Well, if it was the AFL, you know what's going to happen. Those players would not be playing or they'd be very light in the pocket. In the soccer, well, I haven't actually read any reports or anything... Thursday?
No, there were some reports that Drogba might miss the rest of the season, which means he'd miss the FA Cup. But
due to being suspended?
Being suspended.
That's probably a fair result.
I think there's like 5 games left of the actual regular season.
Yep.
But wait to see what happens there.
Yep. And they still in the FA Cup? I don't think they are, right?
They play everything.
They're still the big four in, aren't they?
No, they're through the final.
Okay.
Chelsea will play Everton.
Okay, what happened to Man United?
They went out to...
Because I've lost...
I think they went out to Arsenal, but...
Okay, because I lost a track with the FA, because it's normally finished by now. You know, traditionally today is the last day of the EPL.
And what they've extended it to is all the other...
I don't know what they've done, but, you know, May 9, obviously May 9, because it's my birthday, you always used to be able to sit down and watch the FA Cup or... the traditional last Saturday of the round, of the season. The season was normally always over. Then the FA Cup was played on this weekend. They're not at the FA Cup stage of finishing the game, FA Cup. And there's still four rounds to go in the FA, in the EPL.
It does, yeah. I think it gets extended when, depending on what games, you know, they have to play in terms of qualifying, like World Cup and...
And on the other scale, there's a test match being played, the earliest in the history of the game in England. They've never, ever played a test match this early in the season.
Well, look at the weather in Melbourne. I think winter's finally starting to feel like it's hit. It's colder. The bones are starting to feel it. I'm sure people getting up this morning would have liked to have just rolled over and continued sleeping, but thanks for joining us here on 97.7 FM. Mm. Now, having a look at... we're up to round five. It's... who would have thought, mate? It's already, we're already up to May 9th. We were just talking about your 50th at the start of the season, and we're already there. Gives us a bit of a chance.
50 is a good number to start with. 76% of the teams in the VFL seniors, this is the VFL, 76% have won 50% or more of their games. That is a very top-heavy. That means three teams haven't won a game between them, and no team is sitting on one win.
Since when is that... this season.
Yeah, well, normally normally you've got about half the competition, 50% lose more than 50% of their games. But no one's actually lost more than 50% except those three teams that haven't won a game between them. That is very lopsided, very very top heavy. So teams are going to have to start losing.
Three of the teams that are yet to register a win for season 2009. That's Geelong, Franks, then the Bendigo Bombers.
Yep, they've lost. 10 games between them?
Well, they have. We'll have a bit of a review of each team and where they're sitting after round four. There's a couple of surprises there for sure.
Yep.
Now, a final eight with only 13 teams really doesn't give you much chance of missing out on some finals action, does it, really?
Yep. Well, again, more than 50% of the competition will make the finals.
And exactly right. And you probably wouldn't need a 50% strike rate in terms of wins to make it.
North Ballarat are in 10th position.
Yeah.
They've won 66% of their games.
Well, that's you started off with the ladder and
it's very,
and North Ballarat.
Very unusual. They've won two and lost one. I mean, it's only early days, but...
I guess the bye also makes that little bit of a difference with the ladder, doesn't it? Because some teams have played three or some teams have played four.
Yeah, team in fourth position, Sandringham, have lost 50% of the games.
Having a look at that Collingwood versus North Ballarat fixture, wasn't that a great game of football?
Yep, that was an absolute
probably the best
ball
game,
burster.
Probably the best game we've seen so far in season 2009, Collingwood versus North Ballarat. It took you back to that... the prelim final when Callum Murch picked up the footy and kicked it through in the last few minutes. The Cameron Richardson goal from the pocket, you just had to be there to believe it. He kicked two in the last quarter, but his second one where he just picked up the footy and just ran from the pocket was something from 80s football, wasn't it? The way he just ran along the boundary line and I guess Craig Bradley-esque back in the Princes Park days, but he was couldn't get any closer to the boundary line and he nobbed it and... knocked off the Pies, who were gallant. They deserved victory.
They were very stiff in losing. Both teams deserved a victory on that day, and unfortunately one of them had to lose.
One of the more free-flowing games of football we've seen as well, where teams were... but the switch was on, definitely. Changing, either side of the ground, played on the wings, and good attacking brand of football. And that could just be the starting point for the Roosters, I think. A victory like that. We heard just how important it was for the club. And it was supposed to be at home, but it wasn't. It was down there at Visy Park. So round seven, as Jared Fitzgerald said on the program last weekend, will be the releasing of Eureka Stadium up there for the Roosters, so we wish them all the best. In other Saturday games, Collingwood North Ballarat was a broadcast game. Williamstown versus Sandy. Well, Williamstown currently sitting on top of the ladder after round four. We're just too strong. They won 18-9, 117. So the Zebras, 10-9-69. So two losses in a row there for the Zebs after starting the season in very good form. At three-quarter time, the Cats looked like they were home, but one goal to, I think, five in the last quarter. The Borough got over the line, 14-15-99, defeated the Cats, 12-15-87. So good performance there by Port Melbourne. Just as you thought the wheels were falling off after the Northern Bulllands game. It's been a feature of his coaching, hasn't it, for Gary Ez? The ability for the Port Melbourne side just to quickly respond and bounce back.
It's a better start this year than it was last year.
Well,
they were runners-up last year.
Well, it has been, some times with the Port Melbourne side where I can remember last year they'd get flogged or put in a disappointing performance like they did.
I think they're traditionally a slow starting side because I was looking through the positions they are now and what they've done in the past. It's Port Melbourne's best start since 2005. They've been successful in those years.
Now, is this a bit of an upset, do you reckon? The Box Hill Hawks going down to Werribee? Probably a little bit
On the previous week's results.
Yeah,
definitely.
A bit hard to really draw a line in the form at the moment, but the Tigers Werribee brand. They won 13-12-90, defeated the Boxall Hawks 10-9-69. So good performance there by the Tigers. Nathan Thompson getting amongst it. A couple of interesting reports, you know, about Nathan Thompson and his TV work.
Well, apparently he's put his football before his TV work.
The other way around. But yep. Having Nathan Thompson involved is beneficial for the club in more ways than just him being that person to rely on to add experience at training every week, because he's going to get Werribee in the newspapers, he's going to create genuine interest about how he's going, and you know, he's just a big name. People will pay money to go through the gate to watch Nathan Thompson play, you would think. I probably personally wouldn't.
But you've also got to remember, the VFL doesn't pay the bills.
Well, exactly right.
Yeah, you got to earn a living.
And, you know, the loss of Pods Yadley, they had to do something to Werribee Tigers. There probably weren't a lot of, you know, 6'4" big men on the market that could just sit in the goal square. So he kicked 5 last week, and the Tigers got their second win of the season. And the broadcast game on Sunday, Northern Bulllands versus Frankston.
Yeah, well, this game traditionally was a close game, and it was the worst blowout they've had in eight meetings.
Well, the Bulllands, 15-19-109, defeated Frankston, 9-8-62. So good effort there by the Bulllands.
Yeah, they played exceptionally well. We're on a roll at the moment. It's the best start. The Bulllands since 2006 are 11-3 to round 4. So,
well, let's just
traditionally, they've been a good starting team.
Let's just go through the ladder then, Jimbo. And then we'll take a small break and come back with a bit of a review of the VFL season so far up to round 4.
Yep.
And then we'll have a preview of round 5 and looking beyond. But top of the ladder is Williamstown with 3, played 3 and won 3.
I reckon St Kilda had a good start to the season. Williamstown have actually done better.
Well, they've got a percentage of 204.
That's right. St Kilda's, what, 194 or 195 now?
Yeah, they're unbelievable at the moment, the Saners.
Yep, and the measly defence of Williamstown, they've only threw 168 points, which is, what, about 58, average about 58 or thereabouts.
Yeah, it's only 10-9-69.
Which is on par with what St Kilda have been doing to their opposition.
And the conditions would have been pretty good, I'd imagine, at Burbank Oval.
Yep.